I actually this week have been kind of wrestling with God on which direction to go, and he won the battle last night, so thank God for that. But I need to get something off my chest if I could. And this is all free, so I'm not going to charge you anything for it, but please listen to this because this is important. Turn off the media. I'm serious, turn it off, because what they're doing, I understand their job, but they're scaring people. And they're acting as if we got to treat everybody as if they have the plague. And that's not right. And it kind of concerns me a little bit that they're doing that. But turn them off. Our answers and our hope is in God's Word. And that's what we need to draw to every single day. We don't need to draw to the media for our resources. God has everything for us in His Word, and that's what we need to gravitate to. The appalling thing about this is they're talking about the death toll every day. To me, the numbers are just not adding up to what is back in 1918 and to our flus every single year to cause the people to go in such a scare. What really concerns me is as of January 1st up until the 25th of March of this year, over 9 million babies have been killed. They've been killed in their mother's wombs. And where is the cry for that? We as Christians are distancing ourselves from everything else because that's what the government's wanting us to do. But we're not voicing our opinions according to God's word and what they're doing is wrong. And if we're taking this time to protect our own lives, when this is all said and done, man, I hope this causes something to burn with inside you. To voice your opinion on what they're doing to babies inside the womb of the mother. They're trying to find a way around this now. I believe the number is higher. As of right now, the number of deaths per year ranges between 40 to 50 million babies aborted in the mother's womb. That is an average of about 125,000 babies a day. Think about that. And they don't give you those numbers. They don't give you those stats. And these are people who are willing to give up somebody's life. And that to me, that's shocking. And it's sickening that this goes on. The numbers might be higher because a lot of these things, abortions they're calling now, they're using a term that's been around for many years, but now they're calling this miscarriages. It's not a miscarriage. It's somebody literally killing another individual. Well, it's not a life inside the baby, inside the mother's womb. Tell that to John the Baptist when he leaped inside his mother womb. Tell that to me when I was kicking my mom inside her womb 40 some years ago. She can testify that I was a living person back then. The Bible says, "Before I knew thee," how'd that verse go? Yes, "before I formed you in the womb, I knew thee." And I tell you what, we need to stand up to those types of things, drive those numbers into the media. That was all free. It had nothing to do with tonight. And it's so good to get that off my chest tonight. And the folks that are here tonight, yeah, you got it, Brother Chad. We're good. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter number 13 tonight, the book of Acts, chapter number 13. This is a lengthy chapter. We're not going to read the whole chapter because if we did, we'd be here till 7:45, and most of you out there will turn me off at 6:30, and we don't want that to take place. But we're going to pick it up in verse number 43 and read down to the end of the chapter. And really, I just gathered some thoughts that have been on my mind this week about this, and hopefully this will make some sense to you. It says, verse number 43, it says, "Now when the congregation was broken up," it's kind of funny that God had me start in this particular verse, because here now we're in a world that we're not too familiar with, and our congregation is separated. We're not together like we should, even though we're together through Facebook, we're not together the way that it was meant to be. And so I kind of laughed at this verse where God wanted me to start here. It says, "Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who speaking to them persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have spoken to you, but seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed, and the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coasts. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll go through this evening. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you have given us. God, I thank you for the opportunity that we have to open up your word and to be able to see what you want us to learn tonight. God, I pray not only here, but in our homes across the city of ours. Lord, this is a time of worship. This is not a time for us to be concerned with what's going to take place a half hour from now. It's not a time for us to be concerned about if our dinner is going to be done in time. But God, it's a time for us to put everything aside, forget about everything else that's going on, but Lord, to truly focus upon your word tonight. God, we want to glorify you. We want to walk away from here this evening and to be able to close it out at our homes tonight and to be able to say, man, it was good to meet with God tonight. God, I pray that you just again continue to bless in the days to come. And we ask it in your name. Amen. Well, as last week, we began to go through the book of Acts, chapter number 12, and we see that Peter was taken and he was put in a prison. We read about a man, Herod, who brought persecution to some of the church back then. Again, he was kind of acting like Saul was acting during that time and began to bring havoc to them. And we saw that our dear brother of ours, James, he was killed and was taken out of this world because of the hatred that Herod had towards men that were distributing the word of God. Lives were being changed. It was very noticeable in those communities at that time. Not only was he not going to stop there with the killing of James, but he wanted to go further on in his life to bring more harm to more of the disciples. And he sought out to bring Peter into prison. Peter was bound up in the prison. We read about Rhoda and her household that met in prayer and began to pray fervently for the release of Peter. Peter was released, and the whole household was excited that return. And through the end, Herod was taken out by God, by the angel of the Lord. We saw that he was smitten, he was eaten of the worms, and then he gave up the ghost. And to me, that's a pretty descriptive death that has taken place in the life of Herod. And now we're to the point at the end of the chapter. It says, at the end, it said, Paul and Paul returned. And they were gone. And I just thought it was funny how that ended last week. And then we moved on to this chapter number 13. And in the first couple of verses in chapter 13, verses 1 through 3, we didn't read this tonight because, again, it's a very lengthy chapter. And we see here that they were commissioned to preach. And this came about with much prayer and fasting. You'll find that in those first three verses. They took time to pray. They took time to fast. Fasting at that time is no different than the time of today when you want to get real with God and you want to take away the distractions. Many people would begin to fast. Some people, due to some of their ailments in life, they're not able to do those things, but they can still meet with God through prayer. I had the privilege to do fasting a couple times in my life, and it was extraordinary what took place during one of the events that I was at for 3 days, where good friends of mine, we met and we prayed and we fasted. And when we fasted, we didn't eat of the normal foods that we would eat at that time. We didn't partake in pizza and tacos and hamburgers and all those things. And I know the ones that are in here now, they're getting mad at me because we're talking about food here. But we fasted on crackers and oat bars, and we had our drinks were water and tomato juice. And that wasn't very filling, but that's how we fasted. We did that because we still needed strength to do what we did during that time, because we went out and we canvassed towns for 3 days and did a lot of walking and a lot of door knocking and things of that nature. And we wouldn't see the results right then and there, but we would see results later on in our lives and how that ministry began to progress and to begin to go forth as a church was planted there. And that church is still going to this day. And it's very exciting to see that take place. But we see here they are commissioned to preach. And that was through prayer and fasting. They met with God. They met business. And they wanted God's approval. They wanted God's blessing. And they did those things. They wanted God to open the doors for them. So although at that time the main goal was to always go to the Jews first, that was their desire, the gospel wasn't received well by the Jews. It wasn't received well back then. Through that, there was a negative feedback that was given to them that was preaching the gospel at that point in time. However, not being dismayed by this opposition, they took the gospel to the Gentiles. Here's what we need to understand as we go through this topic tonight, is how do we overcome our disappointments? We're faced with many disappointments in life. Think about this for a minute. As we grow up and begin to go out into the work world, and we wanted to get this promotion, we want to get that promotion, we want to achieve this much finances in our life, and we realize disappointments come along the way. And sometimes those disappointments, they'll discourage us, they'll knock us off our track to keep us from trying to achieve those things. But those are things that we need to overcome in our lives. I look at the man in the Word of God. I always get these two mixed up. It's Joseph, and I usually say Joshua at the time, but Joseph, the circumstances that he faced in his life, being sold into slavery, but before that was thrown into a pit by his brothers, and being accused of rape by Potiphar's wife or Pharaoh's wife, and those things that overcame him in his life. He faced those disappointments. But one thing that I began to understand about the life of Joseph was he overcame his disappointments, and he turned those into successes. Why did he do that? Well, because he still met with God. He still carried on his relationship with the Lord, and that's important in our lives. Even though we might face disappointments, what we need to do is seek God continually. Many today, you look around, they're disappointed what's going on in this world. They're not satisfied with what's taking place, and they're discouraged. And I have good news for you. I have good news for all of us. God can get us through our disappointments. God can get us through our discouraging times. God can bring us through those things. All we have to do is, as the Bible has said here in Acts chapter number 13, is to shake the dust off of our feet and move on. And we see this taking place here. However, even though there's a negative feedback, not being dismayed by this opposition, they took the gospel to the Gentiles. Well, what do you mean? They stayed on track. They stayed on focus. When they prayed and when they fasted, they met business with God. They wasn't allowed naysayers to come their way and to try to get them to be discouraged, to have them backtrack and not want to give the gospel out to the world that needed it so desperately. Yes, even back in the times of Jesus, they needed the gospel. Why do they need the gospel? Because they were wicked people just like you and I. They were sinners just like you and I. This here, as you go through and you begin to read of the discouraging things that took place in their life, this could have been the very end of their missionary journey. They could have said, you know what, I don't want to face the ridicule. I don't want to face the backlash that's coming my way. I don't want to face the negativity that's going to come my way. And I just don't think it's really worth it. I got some better things to do. I can probably go off and become financially stable by selling tents and maybe being a successful business fisherman at that point in time. They didn't have that type of an attitude. Their attitude was, you know what? My disappointments in life is not going to bring me down. It's not going to discourage me. But what it's going to do, it's going to cause me to rise above them and go forth and to keep this missionary journey going along. Because they knew that Christ's death was meant for more. It wasn't meant for us to give up. It wasn't meant for us to, oh no, my circumstances, I'm drowning in them. I'm so full of disappointments and I'm so full of discouragement in life and I'm just going to go into a corner and hide. No, they knew Christ's death was more. Why did they know that? Because they knew of the change that was in their life. Think of Paul for just one brief second. Earlier on, as we read in the early parts of the book of Acts, we see Paul, by the name of Saul, torturing, killing, and putting God's people into prison. A man who hated God's people, but God got a hold of his heart. God changed his life, and Paul knew the change was real. Paul knew that the change only came from God, and he knew that it wasn't just him that was suffering like he was. There are many more out there that live that type of a lifestyle. And he wanted to do what he can to get them to have their lives changed. Christ's death meant something to them. The truth of God burned within them. Their desire to let others know of God's greatness was evident in their life. It was evident in their life. It wasn't just known in how they lived. It was known on where they came from as well. It was known in their speech. Their speech began to change. Remember, Paul's speech was full of hatred, full of condemnation, full of conceiving people and deceiving people. But his speech was changed to that of love, to that where he had a desire to let his love go forth and begin to share the word of God with those that was around him. And now that is of love. The gospel is life-changing. And it was made to be known through them. It was made to be known through them. And it's made to be known through you as well. Whether you're here tonight or at your homes, the gospel's life-changing, and it's made to be known through you. How are you living your life outside of church? How are you living your life outside of these walls? Do your family members, do your friends, do your co-workers know that you have Christ in your life? And as we read in verse number 53 to verse number 52, we see the thing here that Paul and Barnabas was up against. They were going against the grain. Just because life gets difficult doesn't mean we give up. There should be no quit in us. I can remember back in the day when I was a young person, believe it or not, I know I look young tonight, but I'm much older than what I used to be. And my hair is not gray. It's Arctic blonde for you out there in case you're trying to figure out what color my hair is. It's Arctic blonde. But I can remember back in the day, there were things that I struggled with. I thrived in some things in school, and then there's some things in school that I didn't thrive in. And I wanted to quit. I wanted to give it up. There's many times where I just wanted to walk away and said, what's this education worth anyway? It's just a piece of paper at the end of 12 years. And I wanted to walk away from those things, but thank God I had some parents that were willing to stick it out with me and were willing to put in some time and to effort to help me with some things that I struggled with, to help me to begin to be more successful in. I was never very successful in math. Yes, I can do basic math pretty well. 2 plus 2 is 5. I get that. I'll never forget those things. Basic math is easy, and I know 2 plus 2 is 4. I'm just seeing if everybody's listening. But I never was able to get very good at math, and I still struggle with it. But if it wasn't for my parents, I would have gave up a long time ago. I can remember there was a certain subject in school that I struggled worse than in math, and that was English. And you guys know that I still struggle with English. I can't speak English well enough. And that's just who I am. And you know what? I'm okay with that because that's how God made me. I've had to learn to be comfortable with my own skin and how to accept it. So if that's how God made me, then you have to accept me for who I am. But I can remember my last year of high school. And one of the things that I struggled with, as I said earlier, was English. And I didn't understand the grammar thing. I didn't understand the adjectives and the adverbs. And to that, to this day, it still doesn't make sense to me. But I seem to know what I'm talking about a little bit. But I can remember through hard work and dedication of my parents, and there's times, don't get me wrong here, my parents weren't saints either. They got mad at me, and they walked away from me at times. But they came back and said, yeah, he's worth it. We're going to stick it into him some more. But I can remember, because of their dedication and because of their desire to see me not throw in a towel, I don't know if you remember this, Mom, but my last 12 paces at that time in English, I had all hundreds. I don't know if you remember that, but I had all hundreds in English. And you know what? That wouldn't have happened if I would have gave up, if I would have cried and felt sorry for me and my disappointments. Just because life gets difficult doesn't mean we give up. Life is going to be difficult for us as we go on in our walk with God. Walking with God is never meant to be easy. Yeah, there might be some easy times along the way, but it's not always going to be easy. Right now, it's not an easy time. Think about it. It's not an easy time. It's a difficult time. It's not a time for us to get discouraged in our walk with the Lord, but rather it's a time for us to be encouraged, because we should know that the Lord is with us. With Christ in us, throwing in the towel isn't an option. You should not want to give up. I am still pretty active in sports. I haven't had the privilege to play basketball in the last year, and to be honest with you, I miss it quite a bit. And I've had some pickup games here and there, but I haven't really played to my ability that I've used to play to. I got sidelined for a little bit. But man, I can remember on many different occasions, not only playing in high school, but playing up until now, you get down and you'll be losing by 10, 12, 15 points at a time. And those are times for a person to get discouraged and, man, I just want to give up. But those are the times that I thrive, because I know that I can overcome those obstacles. I look back at the life of Michael Jordan and begin to see where he was down so many times in games and be down 15, 20 points. And you know what? Instead of being discouraged, not only did he rise to the occasion, but he caused his teammates to rise with him. And that's something that we ought to take in consideration as we go on our walk with the Lord. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. In Jesus, the reason why we don't throw in the towel is because we are overcomers. We are victorious. I believe Barnabas and Paul was seeing this in their life at this point in time. I have seen so many believers walk away from God during their hardships, during their disappointments, during their discouragements, losing sight of who God really is to them. And I have to ask myself a question: was God really real to them to begin with? That's something only they can answer. And as we move further on in this chapter towards the end, we see that we are to shake the dust off of our feet. And that's why I gave my last point here, dust shakers. In verse number 47, the word of God went out to the Gentiles for this reason, for them to be a light. God has called you to be a light in this world, as Barnabas and Paul was called to be a light to the Gentiles. Your light that shines represents the greatest light ever, and that is Jesus Christ. Today, without a doubt, there are people who are scared and in need of hope. And their only hope that they can truly have is not in the government, it's not in the media, it's not in their doctors, but their hope should rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is who our hope is in. That is where our light comes from. Jesus, the light that shines through you, can turn this dark world into a bright one once again. Into a bright one once again. It's not a time to take things personal and to get offended, but it's time for us to be overcomers. What we are supposed to do is to shake the dust off of our feet and continue to move forward. Shake the dust when you're offended. Shake the dust off of your feet. Dust doesn't mean that we forget them. We still continue to minister to them. You know, I got to take time out here because I just had a thought come through my mind. We've just been talking so much and we've heard so much about a pandemic that is in our world today over this virus. But you know what we have refused to hear, what the real pandemic is in our world? And that is sin. Sin is the pandemic that is going on in our world today. And that is scary to begin to think about that. You know, that very sin is what Paul and Barnabas was preaching against, is that sin. They knew it was rampant back then, and it's rampant even today in our society. You know, we isolate ourselves in our homes today, but I guarantee you, we still enjoy sin in our lives. Think about that for a minute. Sin is what separates us from God. And as we begin to close down in our message tonight, my last point is I want to bring up is don't get down in your circumstances. Here's what you need to do instead of getting down. I know what it's like to have my head down. I know what it's like to face these things in life. And I know that at times where I've wanted to walk away. And when those things begin to come in my life and I wanted to walk away, it's because my eyes were focused upon myself. So here's what we need to do. Rise above your circumstances. Keep your head high. Keep your eyes upon the Lord and shake the dust off your feet and move on. That's where we need to be in our lives today. You know, Paul and Barnabas, they had people coming after them. They were coming against them. They were talking bad about them. But despite all that, even though that they were told to go from this place, they went and they found another place to go. Why? Because they knew the importance of the gospel being distributed to this world that is in such darkness. And you know what? That's no different than today. Our world is still in darkness. Our world is still without hope. Why? Because they're in darkness and they're without hope because they're rejecting Jesus Christ. There's a song I heard that was sang a year ago by my wife and daughter, and they didn't sing it here at this church. And it says, the title goes something like this: The answer is Jesus Christ. You want something to cling to today? Cling to Jesus. You want hope today? Your hope is in Jesus. Why? Because the answer is in Him. He's our great physician. He's our great healer. He's our Savior. He's our great shepherd. He is so many things to us. He is my friend. He is my Lord. He is my Savior. And I thank Him for allowing not just me, but many people to rise above their circumstances in life, to not get set back on the disappointments that come their way. And we need to stay focused upon our Lord and Savior. And this is a time in our world today for every single one of us to put our focus upon Him. And by the way, when this is all said and done, and it will come to an end, it doesn't mean we go back to our normal way of living. Matter of fact, we should be more focused on serving Him more and more each day. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day that You've given us. Thank You for this time that we're able to gather around Your word. God, I thank You for using me tonight. Lord, I know that sometimes I don't come across the way that I would like, but God, I know the Holy Spirit is at work, and I appreciate that so much. I thank Him for working on my behalf. God, I pray that You just continue to bless us as we're dismissed from here. Keep Your hands upon every single church member of ours. And God, I pray that You continue to bring comfort and healing to the ones that need it. We ask it in Your name. Amen.